Hello.
Hello.
Hello. I'm just losing screens.
Losing what?
Losing my screens.
Not good.
I'm at my sister's house and I'm only on one screen, which I hate. But for some reason, my Mac does this weird thing where if you click on a notification, it jumps to the screen that that app is on, which is fine. I'm fine with that. But then it rearranges all my screens because I keep them in a specific order and it will move it from like position two to like position four. I'm like, no, put it back. Right back where it goes. So then I start losing things. So
Yeah, not good. So, Aaron, has Christine already left?
sorry, I have like a million screens open and I couldn't get back to Zoom. She has not. She is on vacation this week, but she's officially done. I think September 5th is her last day. So very close. I'm very sad.
Yeah. So, but we are still not too late to convey her. Thanks for all the work she's done, also in RA Sig, and wish her all the best for retirement.
Oh, I'll let her know. I
Yeah.
know she's really enjoyed working on folio projects.
So I will. Should we do a greeting card or?
We did a virtual greeting card. I forget who it was that left, but I remember somebody put that together through Slack and we kind of all signed it on there. I don't know how to do that. Does anybody know how to do that?
I don't know. I can, no. Should we, I mean, should we put together an extra greeting card from the SIG, or I could just write her a personal message then?
I think anything would be fine, and I know she wouldn't mind if I shared her email, but I don't know how long she'll have access to that after retirement.
Okay, so she's still reading messages on Slack.
She's still reading on Slack, and I know she's still reading her email now. I think she'll have it for about a month after.
Okay.
Let's see. Well, you guys should have done it out fast.
Yeah, they kick us right out.
Like, you're gone. Get out of here. Leave.
Some people buy their MSU email. I know that you can buy it from the university after you're gone.
What's your email?
Yeah.
Wow.
As I say here, I forget what the how long you have to be at Cornell for. It might actually not be that long, but all the Cornell retirees have their Cornell email addresses yet. In fact, my dad still uses his, and he's been retired now for 10, 15 years. I think they do have a more limited 365 account. So I think most staff get like 20 or 30 gigs of storage space, and they only get like one or two or something of that nature. So they can't use up a massive amount of space. But yeah.
Well, just kidding. If you officially retire from MSU, it does look like you get to keep your email address, but your access to the 365 services and all that stuff is limited. So
Oh, cool. That makes sense.
guess they won't shut her email off.
If my Cornell email address got shut off, I'd be in trouble because I think my NYSEG bill and a few other bills go there.
Oh.
I guess they won't get paid.
So, thank you, Aaron. Let's start with today's topic then. Susan won't be able to come. She's out sick. So you have to endure me. We are continuing to review old tickets after we closed so many from the old Vega tickets. Steph asked us to do the review process for the Volaris tickets as well. She's provided us with a filter, but that's not restricted to time. So we just could go through it until we reach the newer tickets. Wait a minute. So Susan has kindly put together another spreadsheet, and most of those are patron notices and staff slips. So let's start at the top. Announced email report for patron notices. So I haven't looked at those myself. Let me just check this, the date.
It looks like the last comment was from Holly back in 2019.
2019. Oh, yes.
2020, sorry. This is a very high priority ticket. We should get work on it right away. I don't, honestly, I'm not sure if this is even possible.
Yeah, I don't see how it could be since you can use different third-party services.
Yeah,
Yeah.
you would either have to have something to tie directly into the email server, or you would actually have to have Folio query the email server for messages that came back to it. I think it would be cool functionality, but I would say for us, we've lived without this for so long that I don't foresee this as being a needed anymore.
I would agree.
I have one staff member who's grumbling about it, but I agree. I think it's fine.
Are they close to retirement?
No. No, but she was in charge of reaching out and fixing all these errors when we got bounced email reports before, and now we
Yeah.
don't have them, so but it is what it is. It's not a big
Yeah.
deal.
I mean, as I said, I think it'd be useful, especially for us. Like, I just ran into something where this could have been kind of useful, where I've gotten like a few people in access service say, oh, people are saying they're not getting your email. But I just asked FSE and they were able to pull up the logs from Folio to see if they couldn't send. So, but yeah.
And I would say, like, I mean, I get bounced. So we had all replies to our emails get fed into our ticketing system, our LibAnswers system. And so individual bounces, we actually see that way. And on the other hand, congratulations, we now live in a world where AI is running the university's spam filtering system. Which means sometimes things get blocked as phishing attempts, even if they are coming from like, and we were told explicitly, like, oh, yeah, there's no way to whitelist anything. That's not really how that works. So we just have to tell them anytime we find out that it happened, was what I heard from my university IT. So this all feels a little quaint, in terms of how email may or may not get to someone.
Okay, so we put an intended to close on it. Great. I will maybe add a comment later and update the spreadsheet. So the next is, oh, this anonymization of closed requests. Amelia's team has taken over. So probably sub features are already assigned to your local team. Amelia, you are here, is it?
Yeah,
Aren't you?
so the if you scroll down, there are two parts that we've broken this into. And so development should be starting on the first part very soon. And then we're not sure when we're going to get to the second part, but we're going to try and do it immediately after.
Oh, that's very good to hear. So this is then already assigned to your team. And this one as well. So could you just change the team in this ticket?
Oh, yeah, I didn't realize that wasn't changed. Yeah, I can do that.
Great, thank you. So that's done as well. Number three. Staff slips. Custom triggers. This seems to be quite old as well.
Yeah, I just like to rewrite all slips. It's interesting, but I don't really th can't think of a use case for it other than the slips that we already have there. And again, these are one of those things where I'm not even sure how they would implement this without having a whole bunch of events firing that could be picked up by another system.
Yeah, this isn't super clear to me what the what would the use case be? What does even they ask,
Yeah,
really?
number two kind of lays it out, but that's even very vague. They need multiple hold slips because of different locations that they're trying to bounce it to. Not even sure why Cornell had a ranking on this that we needed this.
Much of the discussion centered around workflow, not developing this feature until the workflow was complete.
Yeah.
Okay.
The only thing I could think of is
Let
maybe
me.
what they were trying to do with this is they were trying to do something like the three-part item status, or where, like, if something came in, it would print out. If something came in and was on order, it'd print out a slip to send it to somebody in tech services, and then another slip that would actually send it to the patron that requested it. That's the only thing that's kind of coming to mind that they might have been thinking with this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I could see that,
Thought
but
so.
again, yeah, that just feels like then, okay, wait until there's something that actually, wait until there's a there, and then come up with specific use cases that are like, we need this slip to do this thing, not we need an undefined ability to do slips of some kind. Is it, this to me is just too generic.
Yeah, agreed.
I also wonder whether printing slips in any way would make sense, or whether it would make more sense to go into the direction if there should be any triggering events to do something for the dashboard. So for these cases, like someone in tech services should be notified that they would have a widget on a dashboard that shows them, here is something that you need to handle.
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, there's different things. I mean, I can see the point of a, it's, you know, essentially like as a routing slip, right? Like if you have a book, you have checked it in, and it's now like the idea was like you have a book in hand, it gets checked in, and its status gets updated, and it says route to preservation. But again, that kind of functionality is so exceptionally hypothetical at this point. Yeah, I think we should just close this and then we can create a new one if and when that makes sense to do.
I mean, the one thing I would kind of, and I don't think this would even fit underneath this, is I would kind of advocate for is slips based on who it's going to or what the service point is, instead of just having a generic slip for all of them. But that would be it.
The
That
ability for
will be.
service points to customize their slip profile. Yeah,
Yeah.
that's a
But that
different thing.
sounds like exactly that's a different thing. That's not about other triggering events, but customizing by target service point recipient.
Yeah, exactly. So I think we could add that as a new ticket if we wanted to. But yeah, I vote close it. Throw it in the burn pile.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think we agree on this, don't we? Yes. Okay. So, number, I'll add a comment later. Number four. Extend petrol notices to print.
there is already some work that was done with this because of the reminder fees.
Yes.
I know for us this was a massive thing because we used to do, or in fact this probably came from us, we used to do print notices or allow print notices to our New York State patrons as an option if they didn't want to put an email address in. And we just finally told them, sorry, you have to give us an email address, we don't care. No email address, no library card.
Yeah.
I think there's others, and some of the other stuff where we've had to do print notices, we've used the LDP slash Meta DP. There's also, you could possibly pull things through the API. So I think
I
for
have
us.
a vague memory of this being a German library's need. Like there was some kind of
Yes.
legal requirement for
It's
print
exactly.
notices, right?
I'm piping in there because a lot of our libraries require the last notice the library handles itself. Like usually it's the third or the fourth notice to be delivered by postal services in paper format for it to become enforceable by the accounting, the university's central accounting department who then handles any further legal claiming issues.
Yeah, but I mean, it's.
That's that is in place for the reminder fees.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. So I mean, it would be nice if like I just saw in the comments, would be nice if it would be possible for lost item notices as well.
I think with that one,
But
though, that would be more of a refinement, reworking of this feature, because I feel like this one
Yes.
is a more general. This patron receives print notices and not email notices, where both of
Yeah.
the examples you've given is more of a within the notice policy, you could say, I want this
Yes.
to be a print notice. And the like the lost notice is always sent out via print, or you can do an email version of it and a print version that gets sent out.
Yeah.
Yes, I think this is more on the user record level because there isn't there in the user record there was the option to choose there should have been the option to choose print instead of email for people who don't have an email address or don't want to provide an email address. And I think that's been a great concern in German libraries, but not anymore probably.
Yeah.
Well, we have Ramsons, and in the actions menu in the user record, there it says view patron notice print jobs. I don't even really know what that is, but isn't that what we're talking about here? Like you can print if the patron had selected print instead of email, then I'm guessing this would generate a PDF file.
But I think that's going back to the reminder fees. I don't think that's actually
Okay.
all notices. I think it's just reminder fee work.
Yes, but it could be extended to
Agree.
other jobs. If
Agree.
yeah, I mean, yeah, we should differentiate between the on the user level and on the notice level. And I think this feature is more on the user level, or whatever it's thought to be, for users who don't want to provide an email address. But just leave it some more years, and we won't care about any it anymore.
Everyone will be getting notices directly through implants in their head. At least them.
Yeah. And I mean, how many people do not have emails? I mean, the number percentage-wise is so low, and one workaround to then print out something for snail mail would be to enter a service email address of the library itself, and someone in a ticket queue handles it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And SMS, I can't see, at least not here, any library, any academic library wanting to send SMS messages.
We wanted
Yeah,
to.
so that is
I
in the US American.
mean,
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
It's the same as the printing in Germany. It's like some cultural
yeah.
thing.
And ours, but ours was also limited too, is like we wanted to give patrons the option of receiving notifications from the library via text message, but we were mainly concerned, at least when we were talking about the possibility of doing SMS when Folio was first starting to go up, because it was like, oh, good, we can do text messaging. Was more for short-term loans like reserves and laptops and things of that nature, like the hourly loans that we could send a text message to a user just saying, hey, just for you know, your room is due in 10 minutes. Please renew it or check it in. And that was actually being requested by our patrons because they don't read email, but they'll read a text message.
Yeah. And also, I think public libraries, it's such a commonplace thing in the United States that it started to feel like it was just a weird gap that you couldn't do it. And it would require a fair amount of development because typically the text messages are not, it's not like you can just take the text, you can't just take the email notices and say, send this by text instead. It's usually a very short text message that just says, you have stuff coming due. Click here. I think the notices to SMS, that feels like something that maybe needs refinement, but shouldn't be like it's not super high priority for me for Chicago, but it feels weird to close it as we're never going to do that.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's still some possibilities there for it. I'd like to possibly look at it some more and refine it. And actually, even the extended patron print notices, I would even suggest maybe closing this one, but making a note to create two or more UX prods based around what we were just talking about, like some of the specific things for
You're talking
what
about
if.
the print?
Some of the specific things that are needed for like the German library, some of the other scenarios we were talking about around the print notices, are having like some notices be sent as print as part of the notice policy. But I think the SMS one is just so general, we could just rework that one as is.
Didn't we have a label with further refinement? I would handle the SMS feature same way as the print feature and to talk this through with the German libraries.
That was RA. Everything was under RA. Yeah, right
Ah,
there.
there it is. A further refinement. Yeah.
There you go.
There it is. But yeah. So this needs to be talked through again, but not with a high priority, maybe. Send
Oh, when
check-in.
manually
Oh,
prompted.
yeah. Oh, wasn't this close? Steph asked on Slack if this could be closed.
I thought so. I wonder if
Wasn't
it
that the way?
duplicated somewhere.
Because we have check-in, you can send check-in receipts to
Yeah.
everybody. You don't have a thing that lets you toggle it at the user level, which. We
Yeah.
had for checkout receipt we for checkout emails we had that in our previous system thanks to a single law faculty member who pitched holy hell.
They never do
And
that, David. What are you talking about? Faculty are wonderful.
They are absolutely wonderful. And that person is still here and yet does not like that moved on from that apparent
For
hill
check,
that they were going to die
yeah.
on. This is like you want to just do it to do it on the like that's not how it will. Like there's so many, I mean that on the fly thing is just so much like just take a screenshot of just print your screen
Yeah.
at that point. Like I don't see, I mean I get the idea of this, but
Darcy originally added this. I can almost guarantee you that this came from Voyager does this now. We should put this in folio.
Isn't there a similar thing for checkout? Like this receipt you can print for checkout was done for the Library of Congress?
Yeah, and that one though I feel is probably a little bit more valid because there is some libraries, and I think LLC was one of them, but public libraries where they have to print out a receipt for all the due dates.
Yeah.
To just checked out, but yeah, I.
And can you not say when you can print the due date receipt, it's basically also a check-in receipt because the item that is not on the list with the due date is returned.
Yeah.
No, because the checkout is in a transaction. It's the things that you just checked out now. You might have 200 other things that you checked out over the course of the last 2 years. That you like the checkout receipt is not here's everything that you have checked out on your account. As my understanding, the checkout receipts are here is what you have checked out
Yes.
today
Also,
in this
yeah.
moment.
Yeah.
Also, the print receipts are individual for individual loans. I think they are
Yeah, each
printable from
one.
the loan details. Yes.
So that you
Yeah,
can like
it's.
stick a slip in the book, right? For who's still doing that? Don't know.
Yeah, it's in the open loans, but you could mark all the loans that are open on the print.
Yes. Yes.
I don't see a strong need for this. I mean, I could see being able to turn on check-in receipts and then turn them off for individual patrons who complained about them
Yeah.
more than I would see needing to do this as a one-off, but I would almost just say like if we got enough people saying, "Hey, I really want a check-in receipt," just turn on check-in receipts for everybody and everybody else can just learn to ignore them because how often are you really getting them?
I agree, and there's other workarounds as you were saying before. You can do a print screen. There's other things. So I say kill. Let's
Yeah.
kill it off.
And Steph already closed the sub feature here, UI check-in. So that's basically the same.
Yeah.
So it's done. Ah, and this is yeah, this was at the user level where you can now choose nothing than email. And when these other tickets would have been implemented, then you can
Well, this is at the tenant level.
define, yeah, at the tenant level. Oh, okay.
This is like
Yeah.
it's like some universities only email, and then we might also want to include a way for an individual patron to override.
I feel like
This
this
is
should be
like
passed on to the user group and the user PO.
Yeah. Add a setting that allows tenant to define which formats are allowed. Once this is implemented, it needs to be decided if this controls the contact information list under the user profile. Yeah.
I said we close it, and if we do add other contact types, this could be re-added. But at this point,
Yeah.
there is no other contact type, so I feel this is
This needs to be reworded if we ever implement print and text.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Right?
And also, it seems like, do you really even need it? Like, if you implement print and text, like, couldn't you just control them through rules
Yes.
rather than and settings rather than having some like match a thing to say, I don't want anyone to ever be able to send a text message.
Yeah.
Yes. Good point. Okay, another one done. So, what's this? Partials or snippet templates for Reels
I
and
would say
Patreon?
yes. And I think this would be nice because, like, you could add, let's say you have 20 notices and you always want the notice to have a footer that says, thank you, blah, 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 and contact information. Having something where you can have snippets that you can insert into notices, I think would be very, very helpful. Yeah.
Okay.
But also, once your notices are created, you're not really going in and creating new notices routinely, so this doesn't seem like a high priority.
Oh, you're correct. You're 100% correct. Like, once they're created, you're not going through like changing them a huge amount. So I don't think this, I think a P4 is actually probably appropriate for the priority on this, but
Worth having.
yeah, I think it'd still be useful.
So, okay, we are keeping it. Olga?
I just wanted to say that that example that Tom shared, like contact the library, it would be useful if we have those snippets. If you, for example, your email changed, that's not going to happen, but our phone number, that could happen. And you will change it only in one place, and then it changes in all 20 templates. So that is really useful.
Yeah, that is also a use I can see, that you insert one of those snippets as placeholders and leave it simply empty if you don't have anything you want to notify patrons about, but you have a placeholder in all templates with a snippet you can fill if needed, like pay attention to changed opening hours across some branch libraries or something like that, without having to rewrite a couple of notices.
Exactly. Yeah. You could have a snippet that's emergency closures or something like
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I said. I think this would be really useful. I will say though that from a dev side, I would see this as being a fairly large ticket because they would probably have to create a new infrastructure to hold all these snippets and then allow them for insertion into the templates. So, yeah, this is probably quite a bit of work on their side, but I think it's still useful.
Okay, so I've put it down for further refinement whenever. So, oh, images.
We used to have a library logo in ours. No one has missed it.
Yeah,
I
I
think.
mean,
This
Go
even
ahead.
doesn't have a description.
Like, you can also if fancy HTML pretty notices are super important to you, there are third party options out there.
Yeah.
Right, like I think I feel like SpringShare has gotten into that space. There's a
They have.
unique management systems which we use for other things does that. Like, there's ways that you can be like, instead of my system sending notices, send these beautiful newsletters that all and also my notices come in the same formatting and stuff. It just doesn't seem that
I'm
critical to me.
This one's a little weird. Like, I have our library logo in our notice, and I just looked at one to confirm. It allows me to put an image in there.
I don't think I think the your I'm willing to bet your logo is linked to an external resource. It may not be in Folio.
Huh,
Like, I could be wrong.
I just copied a picture and put it in it.
Oh, okay. Never mind then.
It's just a picture.
Oh.
Yeah, maybe it just does it. Either way, then we could close it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I would rather get a different templating engine and a different editor in Folio, but
Could you, Erin, could you show it to us?
cool.
Oh, you put it in a chat. Oh, sorry.
Well,
Just so
I can still show you the notice. Just a sec, let me. So this is a fake notice. I mean, it's not fake, it's a real notice, but it's for our CDL account. But at the bottom, we have a signature that just says regards circulation staff, and it has our little Spartan
cool.
head. So.
Yeah.
And what does it look like
Done, solved.
in your folio template?
In the template, let me close. Stop sharing for a second. I'll pull that up.
That's okay. You can share all your patron data with us.
I
We won't
have
tell
so many
anybody.
windows open, I don't know what all you would see. Let me see.
I swear I won't tell anybody.
So I'm inside, like if I was gonna edit a template right now, and so it's just pasted here at the bottom,
Oh.
right in there.
Right.
I mean, I do know that the background of this is HTML, but I didn't realize that they were actually accepting images in there. That's pretty cool. I might have to pop a few images in our Cornell ones. You've opened up a whole new world for us. Thank you,
So
Aaron.
and then we need those
maybe we can close
extra snippets so we can add season-specific images during, I don't know, summer break or Christmas time or
ticket. Can we get snippets for the weather that it's currently on campus? So if it's raining, it's like like my Google banner.
And I want to draw your attention to this note here. It might present accessibility issues. So,
That is true. And for accessibility, my brain is fried today. Sorry. You're supposed to put a description on the image so for screen that screen readers can actually tell what it is.
Maybe we'll have to. I'll have to talk to our accessibility team and see if I can figure that piece out.
It would be nice if things like that were mentioned in the manual, because I had similar question about templates in the past. I wanted them the due date or the due date to be in red, and all you do is just copy the same field for the notice from Word where you make it red, paste it into a template, and then it's red, and all your overdue dates are red. But it wasn't in the manual, so I had to ask on Slack, and someone replied, and it works. But it would be nice if things like that were mentioned in the manual so people could discover them.
Agreed. Agreed. And this is also one of the reasons why I'd love to change the editor. I forget. I think they use Quill as the editor in Folio. I'd love it to switch to something like CK editor or something of that nature, because all those options to change color, font, size, all those like normal what you see is what you get editors, they're already in the editor, so it makes life a lot easier for people.
This one relates to the check-in notice on demand.
Doesn't really come up too much. Oh, look, specifics from an email exchange with Duke. They're no longer using fo they're no longer going to use Folio, so we can close it.
Done.
says Duke, let's just close it. This used to come up every once in a while with us. Yeah. See, I even dropped a ranking down to P4 back in 2023. I'm fine with closing it. If others would like to keep it open to refine it, I'm fine with that too.
Well, we put it on the spreadsheet as intended to close, and if anyone wants it, speak up. And we are getting through those really quickly. So,
this would be kind okay. of, I feel this is outside of, this is kind of outside of the realm.
Isn't this the same thing?
No, this looks like it's, they want notices on specific criteria.
They want to be able to say, like, I have done, like, I've used the lists app or something. I mean, this is pre-lists app's existence. It's like, I figured out these patrons are all expiring and I want to send them a specific notice. That is what MailChimp is for.
Right.
Like, you just do it in a different thing. Why are you trying to make Folio? I mean, I get it. It's, I mean, it would, again, it's one of those, like, well, if that was there, that would be a cool thing, and you could make try to make that part of like a lists or reporting app function. But like, I don't fully understand it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And notices with a list of all fee fines, that's a separate feature.
Yeah. But as you just mentioned, David, it's like this was before the list app. I mean, the list app is now moving into fee fines and a few other things. So you can just do a spreadsheet and run a simple Outlook mail merge.
Yeah.
Your template, not even MailChimp. So yeah, I say close it. I mean,
yeah, if there's that, like that specific like reminder notice that you're talking about, Cornelia, yeah, like that would be, that would not be an ad hoc. You wouldn't do that ad hoc anyway. Why would you ever want to do that ad hoc? If you need it, then you need to build it so it's a thing that happens. Anytime Olga? Anybody has.
Oh, sorry. Know, yeah, you're right, David. Olga?
I have an example of when I used that in the past in our previous system. It was a snow day and we had to, we wanted and we could do it, extend all the due dates so that were of items, hourly items that were due on that day. And we tend to have a lot of those items. So I renewed them, and then I sent email to all those patrons for whom I renewed the items, that they don't need to worry, they don't need to try to come on campus during snow day. Your items are renewed, and you can return them later. So that's an example that I used in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, it doesn't happen often. As for other ways to do it, I imagine bigger universities do know things, other ways to do it. I don't necessarily know what you're even talking about, how to use this chimp or whatever.
Well, I mean, MailChimp's just a service, but I mean, I think what Tom is talking about is like literally an Outlook. You can just take a spreadsheet of email addresses and put them into the BCC field and send an email out.
Yes, that is an option.
Yeah.
Mail merge in Word, which Word will actually take a CSV file as a data source, and you can create individual emails for each person. So for like the fine fee thing that's in here, once fine fees is in the list app, you could use the mail merge function in Outlook, and sorry, in Word to create individual messages for each user. That could be printed. I believe Word actually allows you to send them via email too. I was going to say like maybe put it as refinement as something for the lists app, but I'd be kind of weary of even adding an email function to the list app, to be honest.
It needs to be more specific anyway, if we
Yeah.
want to refine this.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, I don't have any strong
And
feelings about it. It's just it doesn't happen often enough to be a problem for us. So if you decide to close it, it's okay.
okay. I think it's better to close it and come up with more specific use cases
I agree.
individually. Yeah. And Olga, as a bigger university library, we tend to just put those information on the website and social media and hope that people somehow catch it
Yeah,
instead
we
of
do.
sending out a lot of email.
We do that too. But
Yeah,
we
sure.
know that not everyone is going to two websites, and we just try to be as helpful as possible.
Yeah, that's really great.
I could see a variation of this that might be useful is just kind of pulling from here, isn't ad hoc, but predetermined batch notices to be sent out to, let's say, all users on December 31st. I want you to send all the items that you currently have checked out are on these dates, or like every quarter, I want you to send out a notice to anybody who owns fines, fees, to just to say, by the way, these are the fines and fees that you owe the library in total, that are separate from loan notices. But
I would even be unsurprised if such a ticket already exists,
yeah,
at
I
least
agree.
in some of those cases, right?
Yeah, it does for the fees and fines, I think.
Probably had by
Probably
one
with
now. Yeah.
the extra requirement that a specific template is needed for that as well.
Yes.
So let's close this as too unspecific.
I agree. Yeah, I agree.
Oh, tokens. That's
Okay.
interesting.
Okay.
User tokens include first name, last name, middle name, barcode. Additional fields are expected to be added to user groups, such as honorific, suffix, and other identifiers.
So I have an issue with tokens in general, but
So. But there is no honorific or suffix field on the user app, isn't there? Not yet, but I can tell you, or at least that there are a lot of libraries will then use a tenant-specific field for that kind
Yes.
of thing, because it's really this we need to address our law faculty with professor, doctor, PhD, whatever, because otherwise they'll be offended.
This is my issue with tokens in general,
Yeah.
as I feel that all fields on the user account, except for fields that are designated as being protected, i.e., the password field or something of that nature, should be exposed to emails and print notices. Instead of adding token piecemeal one by one, it should just be everything. Anything that's available in Folio is available via the notices. It would mean that the UI could no longer probably show all the available tokens, but it would stop things like this.
I totally agree. Because if adding tokens, there will be the next library who needs another token for field X and Y and Z. It's an endless game.
Exactly. And how do you deal with like the custom fields that you were talking about? Because they are unique for each individual tenant. Like they're there. They're part of the API response. It's just a matter of changing the code base to allow everything to flow through.
Yeah, to use custom fields and nodes would be very helpful, but this is a separate feature already, I think.
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, I would say this is like I close this one and create a new one for Dom's suggestion if that's something that we want to focus our energy on.
Yeah, Marie asked anonymous user ID. They need this for their whole shell, but there is no proper anonymous user ID as well yet. So this can be closed.
It does feel like this is sort of a stand-in too for like the general kind of whenever you're developing new features. I mean, set aside pulling everything out and doing it in a new way, that should be like on the kind of checklist of we're introducing this new field. Is this field gonna need to be a token? Like, does this need to be tokenized? And that just should be a part of any new thing. Right, like, oh, we're developing an anonymous user ID. Is that going to be something that needs to be a token? Then make it a token. We don't need some kind of catch-all. Add a bunch of potential hypothetical tokens, because what does that do?
Oh, okay, now I see. Folio number, external system ID, and username are fields that are on the user record but are not tokens yet.
And
Would anyone need them?
Folio ID, I doubt it. External system ID, we actually do use because, but not in our notices. Like the external system ID is used by our bursar's office and PeopleSoft because that's their actual official university number. And then their barcode is a variation of that number. User, username is their net ID, which is their email address, basically without the at cornell.edu for us. And the funny thing is, I think username is actually exposed as a token for the reset password template, the system defined one.
We could always we could always open a new ticket if a specific need comes up, because this is
I agree.
also quite generic.
I'm massively in favor of closing this and reopening it as needed. I also agree with David, is this should be one of the questions when a new field is created, pretty much in any app. Is this going to be needed for notices or for staff slips?
So this is something outside of notices, permissions.
Yeah. This is one of the I want to enforce a library policy via permission instead of training my staff. At least that's the way I'm reading it. It's like staff are allowed to cancel requests, but in these special circumstances, they shouldn't be allowed to. And to me, that's more of a training staff sort of thing. Like, how do you know it's on? How do you know it's being requested for course reserves?
Okay, so
Well,
this is an action-based permission, and this was closed as won't do. So that's easy. We're not
one
going to get it anyway.
we had a few of these pop up here. The people wanted to have permissions and other things to basically curb bad behavior or mistakes by staff. And I'm just like, I understand that it's easier and it's less confrontational, but training. Education.
And it's, yeah, there's like how granular do you want to get? Like you need to be able to like let student staff view requests without being able to edit them. But are you really at a point where you're like, Well, you can go in and edit this request and change where the pickup location is and move it around to a different item record and do whatever else you want, but you can't cancel it.
Oh, there was a question from Steph. Is this feature still needed with Eureka?
I would love to have a better understanding of what the Eureka migration means. I clearly just missed a meeting somewhere. Like I know on a really basic level, but like I can't explain to my boss why it's happening. I can tell him it's happening. I'm like,
It's primarily because of the security requirements around Library of Congress and a few other organizations. Eureka offers, or Kong specifically offers, more secure communication between the modules on the server. And it also allows for other integrations of different security modules that Okapi did not.
gotcha.
So yeah, that's part of it. But it does change the way permissions are handled in Eureka. Oddly enough, with the Eureka permissions, the way they're set up between the capabilities and capability sets. So the capabilities are basically all the hidden permissions, and then the capability sets are the permissions that are the grouped sets. You actually have more finite control over what you can turn on and off in the Eureka platform. Now, trying to find them is one another different thing. Like
Yeah,
that's just
I mean, that was my
So, will
general
this...
assumption, but that's good to hear. Thanks, Tom.
So, will this have any influence on this ticket?
No,
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 not at
no.
all. I was just completely off track. We can,
So,
I agree, we can close this.
actually, it might. So, one thing that Keycloak does add, which has not been implemented yet, are there's rules, and then there's, oh, I can't remember what the name of it is right now. But basically, they are rules around when the rules can be set up or used. So, for instance, you can set up a policy that says these users are only allowed to log into Folio between 8 a.m. and 5 p.m. They're only allowed to log into Folio at these IP addresses. So that part of Keycloak may actually allow this sort of thing. But either way, I would just say close it. I forget what that is right now. It might be policies. I can't remember.
So, our time is up.
Yay. We actually went.
Yeah, we have gone through a lot of tickets. That was great. Thank you. We're going to meet on Monday for a discussion about recalls. David, your turn.
Yeah, I gotta go back and remember what the heck I said I wanted to talk about. I generally have a good sense now. I remember the
Yeah.
two, but yeah, I need to go back and look at my notes.
Say it's usually
Yeah.
around notices and recalls.
Yeah. Well,
Yeah,
this is not
it's
those. These were actually a couple of just sort of weird outlier edge cases that I wanted to bring to people's attention. I don't think it's a full meeting agenda. They're just a couple of things that we should, I think, be aware of and possibly document.
Yes, that's always good. It's getting more and more complicated with title level requesting and ECS, and media requests are coming, secure requests, all the background systems that are allowing ECS communicate with each other. Request the universe of requests is as big as Folio is.
So, thank you for your input today. Have a nice weekend and see you on Monday.
Good to see everyone.
See you.
Take care.